Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. Bundles, they'll do everything they can to save you money. Great people that are the pros in insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Plus, Bill Purdy can hit a golf ball really well. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day for only the fourth time in the history of the game, 700.
A swing, a long one, left center field, that's the gunner, a gunner for Pujols. He is at 8 or 699 now as he hit that one a mile. Oh, did he get into it? A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022. 8:23 p.m. Pacific time.
That is a tribute to a Vin Scully call. Vin Scully, when somebody was pitching a no-hitter, and then, of course, he did it four times with Sandy Koufax, would give you the day and the time. And you know why he did that? Because the person who pitched the no-hitter, or whatever, he'd give them the tape. And that way they would know what time and what day it was. That's why he did it. That's a great tribute in Dodger Stadium to how Vin would call it. Great call there on number 700. Pujols is only one home run behind Judge, and Judge has been scorching hot. One home run behind Judge since, I think, the beginning of the month. It's a remarkable run by him. And as I pointed out earlier, Giancarlo Stanton, 13-year career, has struck out 95 times or more, 11 of the 13 years. In 22 seasons, Pujols has never struck out 95 times in a season. That's remarkable. With that, we bring in the outstanding Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle. Far too long, my friend. Far too long.
How are you, Steve?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm well, thanks.
Okay. I sit there and you don't watch the game. I give you the stat sheet from Saturday. What do you think? And how does that differ from what you watched on Saturday?
Well, the stat sheet was probably pretty good. I would agree with James Franklin in his post-game assessment of the offense. When a Central Michigan defense is playing cover zero, meaning no safeties, and right, trying to stop the run, you've got to hit passes downfield. And Penn State was not successful doing that, 1-for-10 on pass attempts of 15 yards or longer. So that's a concern, and they haven't been good all year with that downfield. Like it's a low percentage. I know you're not going to get a real high percentage, but that could be an issue against the better teams on its schedule. Other than that, I thought the defense made good adjustments and played very well in the second half. Made big plays, as Manny Diaz's defense tend to do. And I'm really happy for Catron Allen because, as I know you know, Nick Singleton is from our area, and there have been people who couldn't understand why he was splitting time with other backs. And I'm like, well, I can tell you one thing. Catron Allen, the Penn State coaches are very high on him. And what I've seen from him in the last 2 weeks, I've been very, very impressed. Not just the Central Michigan game, but Auburn as well.
When they are not practicing, like, for example, it's a drill they're out of, or they're doing something else like special teams, and they're not in it all, or Nick's on the kickoff thing. Those two of them, they stand next to each other and talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are. It's one of the. They're very tight. Singleton and Allen are very tight. You can see it.
Yeah. If I was a Penn State fan, and I know there are a lot of people out there who feel this way, I'd be very, very excited about watching them for the next couple of years.
No question. You know Joey Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. is going to force you to go to the other side. And only because of how he has played early in the season. Doesn't mean you don't go after him, but how he's played. What have you thought about Kalen King and Johnny Dixon over there?
They just had, and I neglected to mention that, they had tremendous games on Saturday. Just tremendous. The interception that Johnny Dixon had was spectacular. Gave up 5 inches to the Central Michigan receiver and made a terrific play on the sideline. And Kalen King did the same thing on a pass breakup. Did a you couldn't have done it any better. And he had other ones too, but that was on a deep ball. I think it's obvious what the coaching staff feels about the defensive backs, but I think they're outstanding. They're using 7 at times, but I think their corners are outstanding, maybe the best group of corners that I can remember at Penn State. And look at the safeties. I mean, Keaton Ellis had a, and I'm hoping people notice this, had a terrific game at Purdue in the opener. And we know how good Jair Brown is, but Zaki Wheatley and, Jalen Reed, they are really playing well. And, again, two young players who Penn State fans should be excited to watch over the next few years.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, after using the 7DB in the Prowler package, which is what they call it, they made a little change on Saturday. They went 3-2-6 to a dime with Abdul Carter joining Curtis Jacobs at linebacker. What does that tell you, A, about Carter, and maybe what the mindset of Manny Diaz about that package of plays?
Well, I mean, for those of us who have seen the first four games, I didn't need to see him come in on that package, on the dime package, to know how highly the Penn State coaches think of him.
That's right.
I think he is a force of nature. I just think he's a very special player. And I've been asked this, is he better? Now here, I don't want people to jump to conclusions. I'm not saying he's as good as. Is he better than LeVar Arrington as a freshman, or Micah Parsons as a freshman? It's close. I don't have an answer for that. I want to see how the season plays out, but he's definitely in the conversation.
Well, remember when LeVar was a freshman, he first entered as a safety in the games.
Mm-hmm.
He played safety.
I mean, he never started as a freshman.
I think
Micah just started the one game
at Rutgers
because of an injury. And we'll see. I mean, Abdul Carter hasn't started yet, but boy, I mean, he, just watching him, I watched him on one of the kickoffs, oh my. I mean, he just ran past everybody, and he overran the returner, but still, his speed is eye-catching.
What do you think of Sean Clifford so far?
I think he's done what he's had to do. I think Sean admitted, not that he'd be the first to admit, he said this after the game. He wishes he had thrown the ball better in the middle of the game on Saturday. And I'm sure he would love to have the interception back at Purdue. But he is what he's been. He's a 60% passer. He's protecting the ball better, no doubt. But he is what he is. And he's a very good game manager. We saw that down at Auburn. Getting them in the right running sets and schemes, blocking schemes. So that's my take on him. I think he's been solid. I can't say he's been great, but I think he's been solid. And I think we'll find out a lot in 3 weeks or whatever, October 15th at Michigan, and that'll be how he and the rest of the team will be measured, starting with that game.
When Drew Aller's been in there, what have you thought?
You can see his ability. It's as plain as can be. Very impressed. The deep ball to Tinsley in the right at the right pylon of the end zone, which was an incompletion, mm-hmm. was as good a pass as you're going to see thrown. I'm sure, me not being at practice, I'm sure there are things that he still needs to work on and still needs to learn. And again, what I said about Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, I think if I'm a Penn State fan, I'm very excited about the future of the offense with Drew, Nick, and Catron. Very, very impressed.
Tight end is an important spot for Penn State, both in the blocking aspect and also the receiving aspect. What have you seen in Brenton Strange through four games?
Well, he's obviously become more involved in the offense. I'm not sure, again, I don't know if that's by design or by the fact that he's been open. I think he's done a really nice job. He's a very physical player. He had a great block last week at Auburn on Singleton's 54-yard run to the inside the 5-yard line down at Auburn, coming at us toward the press box. I think he's played really well, and I think they're very strong at the tight end position with Theo Johnson and with Tyler Warren. And I think James Franklin has said that many times. But the fact that Strange has been this active, a little bit of a surprise, but maybe that's what the defense is giving Sean Clifford. But I've been impressed.
We know that obviously people have talked about special teams, but here's an interesting aspect of it, and part of this is the takeaways too.
Mm-hmm.
But Penn State is about 584 yards more in possession starts than the opponent. In other words, 146 yards per game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a field and a half in field position. As you watch this play out, what has that meant to the formula for what James wants to do?
Oh, it's complementary football, and I haven't done the tabulations, but I do know this. Barney Amore can kick the heck out of the football, and it's not just the distance. It's the hang time. It's the placement. It's the fact that he is a magician with getting the ball to bounce how he wants it to bounce inside the 10-yard line. It's as good as Jordan Stout was.
Yeah.
This guy's just as good, I think. Maybe he doesn't have as strong a leg as Jordan, but man, I'm really, really impressed with him. I mean, impressed, it's kind of a trite word, but he has really been something. I don't think people who aren't around the team like us, we don't get to see as much practice. I think we're all surprised by it. And after the game Saturday, I had listened to one interview before, but he was the best interview in the room on Saturday after the game, and a really, really interesting young man. And I wrote about him. I have a column in today's Reading Eagle about him and what a life he's led in his 23 years. I'm sorry I'm going on about it, but I've really been impressed. I think once they decide, meaning the coaches decide on who they want to handle kickoff duties instead of splitting it, I think things will be a little more stabilized with that. And I would like to see more out of the return game. I think Singleton's been okay as the kick returner, and Parker Washington had a really nice, he ran for about 50 yards, but it was actually a 14-yard return.
Right.
I'd like to see a little bit more out of the return game. But you made a great point, Steve. Field position. And
yeah.
I know, I'm going to stop here. I know punting was a question, James Franklin said, in the spring. I don't think it's a question anymore.
I mean, you've been to U.S. Opens.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the practice range.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it tells you so much about the pros, where no matter what club they pick. the target they pick, every shot's within about 10 to 15 feet of each other, right? You just see the circles out there.
Mm-hmm.
In practice, that's Barney.
Mm-hmm.
Barney kicks the ball almost in the same spot every time with hang time. It's not going to be perfect, but that's what's amazing about him. I have to ask you about your guy, Aaron Judge.
Did you ask the guy you had on before me about Aaron Judge?
I did, yeah, because Donnie obviously covered him at Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, he did.
What has this been like for you as a lifetime Yankee fan to see this play out in real time? Because obviously, I mean, when Maris did this, I was two. All right, so.
Yeah, I was, that's all I was. You were born in 59?
58. So
yeah,
I was
born in 59, so I was two.
I was three.
Yeah. So what I do remember, I will tell you this real quick. Back in the day, I used to go to Old Timers Day, and I worked in Hazleton, and I'd get credentials. I worked in Hazleton for 5 years. One of the Old Timers Day, I went. It was either 84 or 85, and I walked up to. You could do this then. I walked up on the field to Roger Maris, and I just shook his hand. I said, I really admire you, how you handled everything, because I had read about it by then. And I said, I just want to say thank you for being your class. And he looked at me right in the eye and he says, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. And I'll never forget that. Okay, having said that, watching Judge is great. Another story. I've been to one Yankees game this year. That's all for whatever reason I was able to get at Yankee Stadium. August 3rd, it was a Wednesday afternoon. Aaron Judge did not play. So. So I didn't get to see him in person this year, but I've seen him, and I've seen him hit home runs in person. He is so likable. Here's from a Yankees fan perspective. This is great. I hope he wins the Triple Crown. It's going to be close with Bogarts, especially with the batting average. Here's what all the Yankee fans are thinking. Please, dear God, please re-sign him. I don't care how much money it takes. But I think we all fear that he's going to go sign with the Giants because that's where he's from, and he grew up a Giants fan and a Barry Bonds fan, by the way. And
yes.
Yeah, but it's great. And he has carried this, which will be, they'll be a division champion, on his back, especially since they lost Carpenter and Stanton. Stanton's back now, but he has carried this team, and it would be criminal if he's not the most valuable player in the American League.
No, he should be unanimous.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not just the home runs, but you're talking about a guy that he and Bogarts are battling on batting average. Mm-hmm. He's trying to win the Triple Crown. His defense is great. It's not good. It's great. And by the way, Roger Maris was a terrific defensive right fielder.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
I mean, I actually saw Maris homer. I was 5 years old, Fenway Park. Went to the game with my father, my grandfather, and some of my mom's relatives. And Mantle and Maris both homered in the game. I remember it to this day.
That's incredible, Steve. Jeez, that's great.
I mean, you kind of walked out of there like as a little kid going, wow, this is great. I saw Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle homer. And Mantle did his right-handed. He hit it over what was then the screen in left field at Fenway. So, yeah. But Judge is exactly what the game needed.
Yes. Yeah.
That kind of personality.
And it's not like he's just watch him play. He's a five-tool player. For somebody the size of a tight end, he's got great speedy play. How many games has he played in center field for them this year? I mean, now that Harrison Bader is healthy and playing, you know, they got him from the Cardinals in a trade. He's playing right field now, but I don't know what the number is, but how many guys can do that?
Not many, especially his
size. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, and Bader was on last night with Ravage and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same guy that was here with the State College Spikes. That kind of personality. I always liked Harrison when he was here. And the other thing too, I want to at least point this out: Judge and Ohtani are exactly what baseball needs. Both of them come off as genuine, down-to-earth, great talents who are great people.
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. 100%. And I just hope he's, as a fan, as a Yankees fan, I hope he stays in New York. But you know, he, we'll see. We'll see what happens at the end of the season.
Always a pleasure, my friend. You do such great work, gave us great perspective as always. We really appreciate you.
Thanks, Steve. Always great to be with you. Take care.
Same here. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle.
All right, now have we said enough nice things about Aaron Judge today to appease you?
Yes, I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, what are you going to do, ship the kid to San Francisco to watch him now?
No, we'll be moving on.
Oh, you'll move on?
Right. Well, yeah, we have to.
What's your chant for Giancarlo Stanton going to be? Don't strike out?
Yeah, pretty much. We'll think of something else, another player. We'll probably, you know what, I'll probably get him a mustache for Nasty Nestor. Although the wife won't be too pleased with that.
He's moving on, too. He's out. Come on. Jeez, you got to understand.
Because he pitched when we went and saw Judge Homer on All-Timers Day this year, and I got the stash for him, and she wasn't a big fan. She thought it was creepy.
Okay, let's understand something. She's right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Our show today brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto Home Life Business. Best in getting you, saving you money and bundles, really important. And RV, motorcycle, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. And they are the pros in insurance. Can't ask for better. They will do everything they can to save you money. Let's bring in the football coach at Bucknell, Dave Cicchini. Dave, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve.
How beneficial was the bye week for you?
Oh, it was great. You know, kind of came at a perfect time. We were pretty banged up after, you know, playing an FBS opponent in Central Michigan, and it was a chance to kind of allow ourselves to heal up from that and really get back to the basics. You know, you don't have to game plan for an opponent that week, so you can focus more on just the base fundamentals and kind of getting back to the very basics of blocking, tackling, running, catching, all of those things. And I think it came at the right time, and it's really benefited our program.
Obviously, I watched your Bucknell Central Michigan game because that was Penn State's next opponent. Dave, your defense played so well in that game. What are they doing right now defensively, and how fast are they playing mentally in that defense?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. They are playing with great speed. You know, our motto is run to win on defense. Our defensive coordinator, Chris Bowers, really stresses pursuing to the ball above everything else. And our players did a phenomenal job against a very talented team, you know, a team that was, you know, certainly on paper bigger, faster, and stronger than us. But we went out and executed our defensive game plan basically to perfection in that first half and just did a phenomenal job of, you know, rallying, getting to the ball, and shutting down a very talented CMU rushing attack.
And not only that, I thought you did a good job on the gaps on Nichols, who was a 1,900-yard rusher a year ago. But I also thought you did, in coverage, he didn't have many places to throw the ball. In fact, that interception in the center of the field in the first half, you can't ask for better coverage than that, Dave.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we did a great job, and you know, they'd been trying. We figured they were really going to try to get him going to establish the run game, and we had the right mindset, the right game plan, and had some nice little wrinkles that they hadn't prepared for, and I give our players a ton of credit, and to go toe-to-toe really for three quarters of the football game, play them, evenly.
Dave, what kind of job are the guys doing up front to set up your secondary?
Well, we're getting a better pass rush than we have in the past couple of years. We've got a lot of, veteran defensive linemen. The old adage is everybody wants to put pressure on the quarterback, but if you can do that with a four-man rush versus having to bring five or six, you are stronger in the secondary. You have more guys back in coverage, and they have a lot of confidence knowing they only have to cover for 3 or 4 seconds tops, as opposed to, some teams that if you don't get that pressure, you're back there having to cover for 5 or 6 seconds. Our front four, Michael Bright has done a phenomenal job pressuring all year. Alston coming off the other end, but we're also getting push up the middle with our defensive tackles. Connor Coretta has been just a great force for us up front, and while we can still continue to get better and become more dominant, all of those guys that I mentioned, they're going to be back here for years to come. So that's what's really exciting about them.
What do you need to do, Dave, to find some consistency offensively? You played a good schedule, but what do you need to do to be more consistent so that defense is watching more, not playing more?
Yeah, well, it starts with our center quarterback exchange, and we struggled at that, during the Central Michigan game. And then when we talk about getting back to basics, just making sure that we're getting a consistent snap. Our quarterbacks have to trust that snap is going to be, right in the zone that they need to have to receive the ball. And we lost that throughout the game. And anytime your quarterback's having to focus all of his mental energy on catching a snap, that makes it hard, because we do ask our quarterbacks to diagnose a lot of things in terms of fronts and coverages and where the blitz threats are coming from. We kind of got out of our own comfort zone, primarily to our own doing. Our starting center was not healthy for the game, we had an outstanding effort by Sean Quarterman, our backup, but he was dealing with the shoulder himself, and just as the game progressed, physically we got a little bit worn down up front, and that kind of manifested itself in some bad snaps, which was a shame, because when the snap was getting back on time, we were a very efficient offense. We put together some great drives. We weren't able to just finish those drives, because we were going backwards at times.
So now you have a Lafayette team that has done a good job defensively. They played a good schedule. No getting around. They played Temple. They played Penn. I think William and Mary's in that mix, too. And then they had 6-0 win, I think, over Sacred Heart. But they haven't put up a lot of points, but they haven't given up a lot of points. When you get into the possibility of a game like that where a possession each half can make a difference, what's it like coaching in that grinding game like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a mirror image of where our football team is right now. Playing with a lot of confidence on defense. Lafayette's a very talented team on defense, has a ton of experience, some really good football players. Malik Ham, their defensive end.
Yep.
He's going to be the first 5-time All Patriot League selection in this COVID year right now. It's never happened before. So he is, you got to know where he is every snap. And they're playing with a ton of confidence on their defensive side of the ball. They have been very inconsistent on offense and playing some more youth like we are on our offensive side of the ball. So it's a great matchup to start our league schedule. And, when you come into these games expecting a defensive struggle, turnovers really is the key. If a team can hold on, and we've done a fairly decent job of that on our offense, of protecting the football and not giving short fields to our defense, and that's helped our defense. We need to do that and continue along those lines while becoming even more opportunistic on our own defense. You get those short fields. When Lafayette struggled against Penn this past week, a lot of that comes comes down to when you have a young offense and you're asking them to drive 80 yards, 75 yards every time they go out there to start their drive. That's a big difference than getting a short field, you know, getting the ball at midfield or, you know, in your opponent's territory. Those drives go, you know, you don't have to be as consistent. You just need one or two nice plays, and you're knocking on their doorstep. So it's going to be really critical to win the turnover battle here this Saturday.
That was literally going to be my next question, Dave, because it's something on a Penn State side of it. Jack Ham and I were talking about this in the post game on Saturday, and I said, Jack, I said, Penn State's now a plus 584 yards in field position this year. It's 146 yards a game, a field and a half. To flip the field on a team and give your offense a short field, what can your special teams mean to doing that this Saturday?
Yeah, and that's, there's so much hidden yardage in the special teams game. Sometimes it's kind of taken for granted. People just kind of assume, you know, your punter is going to, you know, put out a great punt. Your kickoff unit is going to hold them inside their, you know, their own 25. But that makes a huge, huge difference. And even more important than the hidden yardage is, again, those opportunities for those game-altering plays. You know, we had a punt that Central Michigan got a hand on. You look at Lafayette, that was their downfall against Temple. They were playing a great game against Temple, like we were playing a great game against Central Michigan, but they had three punts blocked in the game. And so you talk about those short fields, you can get those short fields by having great special teams play either a great punt return or a kick return, or just blocking a punt or a kick. You know, those are big momentum changing plays.
It'll be at home on Saturday, 3:30. Is the kick for this one. I wish you nothing but the best in your Patriot opener. It's a fresh season. You start 0-0.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. It's great having you.
Same here, Dave. Thank you so much. Dave Jacchini, head football coach Bucknell. Back with more in a moment. Doug Birdsong will have another great call of that. Once again, there, I guess, have been several legal issues with the suit being there. I don't know what that means.
F-O-U-L-E-D. Spells...
You know, we had that commercial for the magicians. I don't know how good they are because I wanted them to get the suit to disappear. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
And Tua, oh, he's woozy.
Tagovailoa, oh boy. Getting up. Oh, my goodness. That's an awful, awful sight to see. They will take him to the sideline immediately. Oof.
Yep, got back in there. Hurts would have been out for a month. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Even the NFL Players Association is sitting there going, are you sure about this? It's going to be interesting to see if Tua plays on Thursday. They have the Thursday game this week with Cincinnati.
That doesn't look good because not only does he have this, but he has an ankle injury now too on top of it all.
Well, how about the Chargers? What are you doing with Herbert? Jeez, keep him out.
Yeah, the Chargers are really, really in a bad way, beat up right now.
Yeah, but beat up, but he shouldn't be playing.
No, I agree, yeah.
It's a 17-game season.
That game was over.
You've got to be able to look at him and say, look, let's sacrifice some plays here. Need to. In order to get him better and get him right, because Herbert's a fabulous quarterback. Like, I love watching him play. But, I mean, you need to do that. You have to. And they didn't do it. And with Tua, they put him back in the game. I'm like, oh, what are we doing here? Boy. And even the NFL Players Association has a few questions right now about, what were you doing? So, well, guess we'll all find out. We'll find out if he plays on Thursday. Hurts and the Eagles are playing great. It's no getting around it. They're playing great. Okay. Hurts and the Eagles are playing great offense, efficient. He's throwing the ball really well. Really, really well. Smith's had a couple of games back-to-back that are top flight. Having Brown on the other side really helps. And the Eagles right now are, nobody in the NFC is playing better than the Eagles. Now, the Dolphins 3-0 a little more impressive because of who they played. But does it really matter? Doesn't really matter. Just depends on where you are at this day. And if you give me a choice between Tua and Hurts, right now I'd rather have Jalen Hurts. That's just me. But, yeah.
Yep, so, I agree with all that assessment.
And the whole thing's been remarkable. Now, between Hill and Waddle and Gesicki, who would I rather have? I might want the Dolphins receivers as good as Brown and Smith are. Boy, there's something about Hill. He's such a great home run hitter. And you're in a league right now that is doing everything it can to take away the home run. Everybody's now playing this cover two stuff. I mean, they're playing cover two, two eye safeties, doing everything they can to take away the deep ball, and they're trying to make you go 10 to 13 plays on a drive, and then, hey, when the field shortens up, hey, we're going to get you. It really is. I mean, that's what, scoring's down 5 points a game in the NFL right now. Not with the Eagles. The Eagles have been pretty good. Although, what, they got 24 yesterday? But it was 24 easy points. I mean, really. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that game was easy yesterday.
Yes. It was pathetic. The Washington's offense is pathetic.
They're not just a little bit better than the Commanders. They're way better than the Commanders. Tonight, Giants and Cowboys play. But, like, you know, you're watching, like, Kansas City, Mahomes, he can't get the ball down the field the way he wants. You're watching Rodgers, he can't. You watch Brady, he can't. You're watching Russell Wilson, he can't. What's the common denominator? Common denominator is how teams are playing it now. They've decided we're not giving up big plays anymore. We'll give up all the underneath stuff. I mean, that's really the decision they've made, Matt.
And this goes back to when we had Barrett Brooks on with us last week, reacting to the Jalen Hurts game against Minnesota Monday night. Minnesota plays back. They expected Jalen Hurts to make mistakes like we saw yesterday. A lot of bad quarterback play yesterday in the NFL with the guys you just mentioned. Jalen Hurts picked up a part, and he did that again yesterday. And he can beat you many other ways too, and that's a big reason why he, besides Tua, are on the tops right now of most amount of total yards.
I mean, he's doing well. The Vikings' defense is not very good, so let's not pretend. I mean, that's why Zimmer's no longer the head coach.
Oh, yeah,
that's
no question.
That's his baby. And they started, like, doing this umbrella, a lot of underneath stuff. And to the credit of Hurts, he takes what they give him. He's not forcing anything. They're patient. The fact that he can run is a huge plus. I mean, Hurts is playing terrific football right now. Not good. He's playing terrific football right now. So let's give credit where credit is due. We talked about Penn State football. Did a lot of talk about that today. I mean, the stats were, you know, if I just tell you the stats, your plus four giveaway takeaway. You took away four, didn't give up the ball. Great. Got 13 points of takeaways. Great. Your quarterback completed 65% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Great. He had a 100-yard rusher, 111. Great. Right. You go through all of these things, but then when you watch the game, you're like, well, the first quarter looked like that, but from the last few minutes of the first quarter on, after they built the 14-0 lead, it's kind of like, I felt like they were just a half step here, quarter step there, maybe a little off in some areas. They got Northwestern this week. We'll have Dave Ennett on the show Wednesday. Ooh, Kevin Gausman's pitching tonight against your guys.
Yeah, and Seve tonight for the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, he's given up 14 home runs and fewer innings.
Not exactly.
74 fewer innings. He's given up as many home runs as Gausman. Gausman's only given up 14. Gausman is had the best single performance of any pitcher I ever saw at Midler Field, Lebronto Park, when he was with Aberdeen. He came in. He was a first-round pick, like third, fourth overall from LSU. He came in a pitch, Matt. You're like, mercy me. I mean, Joe and I looked at Joe Putnam. Joe and I looked at it, so like, holy mackerel. Now, how good is Judge this year? Vladimir Guerrero is a great home run hitter, right? Right?
Of course. He got 100 not too long ago for his career.
He has half as many home runs as Judge. He's got 30. Judge has 60. Judge has 38 more RBIs. Remarkable. It's remarkable.
And half career home runs, too. Over 100, and Aaron's got over 200.
Well, Aaron's old. I mean, don't...
True, but...
Okay, so then I don't put it at that. I mean, you want to be honest about it. Pujols is 400 and something more than he does. I mean,
right. So, this is not a role that they had half of everything. But yeah.
But I mean, my point is Guerrero is a great home run hitter and is having a great year with 30 home runs and 90 driven in. That's a great year. He's not even in the same category as Aaron Judge. I'm trying to praise your guy. You again take it too far. Your emotions get in the way. It's like, ah.
Sure, I'm sorry. I can't control myself sometimes.
Yeah, but right, it's 5 games. He's done nothing. He even handed him the Pirates on a silver platter. He got one. The Pirates. You know, Roberto Clemente, this is the 50th anniversary coming up of his 3,000th hit, Three River Stadium. How many people were in attendance that Saturday?
13,000.
13,000. Are you kidding me?
Probably less than that this time around.
Not much has changed there.